We concluded our narration with Lord Ram, Sita, and Lakshman on the chariot of Sumantra, the residents of Ayodhya followed behind him, many up until the river Tamasa. But Lord Ram, out of his kindness to them, wanted to alleviate the pain of that unbearable unwillingness to see the Lord leave them. The Lord knew it would be impossible to separate himself from his devotees. So he left when they were all sleeping, and left in such a way that they could not find where he had gone. As he was traveling, there were many people passing by. Those people, although not citizens of Ayodhya, they had heard the tragic events that had taken place. When they saw Lord Ram, Sita, and Lakshman on the chariot with Sumantra, traveling through the forest paths, through various villages, they all wept and cried. Lord Ram was hearing them speaking amongst themselves, "That wicked-hearted and cruel Kaikeyi, look at what she has done. Who could withstand the pain of seeing the soft and tender-limbed Sita living the rugged life of a dweller in the forest?" When Lord Ram's chariot came to the southern border of the kingdom of Kosala, at that time, the Lord, with folded hands and incessant tears flowing from his eyes, he bade farewell to the city of Ayodhya. "Goodbye, Ayodhya, O most glorious of all cities. May you take care of your citizens. And may I, by great fortune, after 14 years, come back to see you." The three of them stood with folded hands, weeping and crying, as they bade farewell to the beloved city of Ayodhya. They continued traveling. When evening came, they came upon the banks of the holy river Ganges. There was a great king of the Nishada dynasty whose name was Guha. Very simple, pure-hearted man who was a very dear devotee of the Lord. Maharaj Guha, when he learned that the Supreme Lord, his beloved and worshipable deity, had been exiled for 14 years from Ayodhya, he came out to greet him. Maharaj Guha fell at the lotus feet of Sri Ram, and with tears of affection in his eyes, he said, "My Lord, please know, this kingdom of mine is yours. My body, my life, my family, all of the citizens, and all of the property in this kingdom, I offer to you. Now for this 14 years, please, you live amongst us, and we will serve you as the only object of our purpose in life." Lord Sri Ram explained that, "I will spend the night with you. but I am not allowed to live in any kingdom. I must live as an ascetic in the forest of Dandakaranya. That is the promise that my father has made, and I must fulfill. Maharaj Guha had prepared the most luxurious foodstuffs for the pleasure of the Lord, and also had arranged very beautiful and soft beds for him to sleep on. The Lord said, as an ascetic, I cannot eat this kind of food. I will only accept a little water. But these horses, they belong to my father, King Dasarath. They deserve the best of all foods. You give the choice foodstuffs to them. And for me, I will take that little water. And I will not sleep on any soft bed, but it is my vow I will sleep on the ground. So you can make for me a bed of leaves that have fallen from the trees. Maharaj Guha fed Lord Sri Ram's horses the best food and made a bed of leaves for Ram and Sita to sleep on. Then he brought the bed for Lakshman. Lakshman said, it is my service to guard Lord Ram. Maharaj Guha, he said, myself personally and all of my armies, we will all stand around to guard Sri Ram. There is no need for you. Please trust us. We will protect him. Here is your bed. Take rest. Sri Lakshman, he began to weep tears of love, with his heart grieving to see Sitaram laying in a bed of coarse leaves on the ground. Lakshman spoke to Guha. How? How could I possibly sleep when Sita and Ram, who are meant to be sleeping in the beautiful palaces of Ayodhya, are being forced to lay on the hard ground? How could I sleep seeing my beloved Lord in such a situation? Impossible. Lakshman and Guha spoke all night long. Lakshman explained to him step by step all the inconceivable events that took place to bring them to where they were that night. Lakshman cried, what will happen to Kausalya? What will happen to Dasarath? Knowing that the Lord is sleeping in the forest, certainly by now they must have already died. What piteous aggrievement the citizens of Ayodhya must be suffering now. Guha Maharaj tried in every way possible to pacify Lakshman's broken heart. The next morning, Lord Ram requested Guha Maharaj to arrange a boat to take them across the river Ganges. At that time, Sri Ramchandra told Sumantra, the charioteer, that now you must go back to Ayodhya. For the rest of the 14 years, we will be walking on our bare feet. Sumantra begged him, I cannot leave you. Please, I only beg one benediction. Let me come with you and spend the next 14 years serving you with my heart and soul. the Lord told him that it was his duty and his service to go back and to help his beloved mother and father to somehow or other live through this most painful experience of their lives. Sumantra said, if I go back, I will not help. I will make things worse. When the citizens of Ayodhya see the chariot coming back without you, that will intensify the pain within their hearts. Please, let me come with you. But the Lord ordered him to return and gave him the message that when you see my father and mother on my behalf, touch their lotus feet and tell Bharat Maharaj that he should take nice care of his aged parents and his stepmothers as well. Then Lord Ram boarded the boat with Sita and Lakshman. As the boatman was taking them across the river Ganges, Sita Devi, with folded palms, offered her prayers to Mother Ganga, praying, O Ganga Devi, all glories to you, O worshipable one, who has descended to this world to purify all living beings. Please protect my beloved Lord during these 14 years. And it is my prayer and hope that you give us the blessing that in 14 years we will come back to this place to have your darshan as we return to our beloved city of Ayodhya. They crossed the river. Meanwhile, Sumantra, he returned to Ayodhya. Lord Ram continued his travels. He came to the holy place of Prayag, where the Ganges and the Jamuna have their confluence. The Lord worshipped this holy place, Prayagraj, as the king of all holy places. It was there that they came upon the very peaceful and sattvic ashram of Sriman Bharadraj Muni. When the disciples of Bharadraj Muni had told their Guru Maharaj that Ram had come, he was very, very pleased to greet them. Bharadraj Muni was worshipped by Lord Ramchandra because the Lord, playing the part of a king, of a royal man, he showed by his example how he loves to worship his devotees. Ram and Lakshman introduced themselves. Bharadraj Muni said that by my mystic meditation, I already knew everything that had happened. I was waiting for you to come here. Now please, for the next 14 years, you stay here with me in my ashram. It is a very peaceful place, always occupied by many saintly persons. We will spend the next 14 years very happily together, engaged in meditation, prayer, and worship of the Lord. The Lord told Bharadraj Muni that I only come here to seek your blessings. I cannot stay because the citizens of Ayodhya will certainly come here looking for me. And they will not be able to go back if they find me. Please, please tell me a very beautiful lonely place where Sita and myself, as well as Lakshman, could live in seclusion in the company of many saints and rishis. Bhardwaj Muni told Lord Ram that I know just the perfect place where you want to be. It is only a short distance from here, perhaps about 50 miles. You go across the Jamuna. You will find a big, beautiful banyan tree with dark green leaves. From there, you turn your back to that banyan tree and continue moving forward. And you will see the beautiful forest of Chitrakoot. It is a most holy place. It is a place where innumerable sages and great devotees come to worship on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga. Chitrakoot Mountain is a place which is a great refuge for so many souls. And the forest is full of singing birds, auspicious trees. That is where you will find your happiness. The Lord spent the night with Bhardwaj Muni and the next morning began his travels. They made a raft out of tree barks and some bamboo logs and thus crossed the river Jamuna. They walked on and came to that beautiful banyan tree that Bhardwaj Muni spoke about. They slept under the banyan tree that night, and Sita prayed to the tree, "O blessed banyan tree, please bless us that we will return to Ayodhya safely in 14 years. The next morning, they continue their journey. When they saw the holy mountain of Chitrakoot, it was bluish in color. It had trees with leaves that were gold and red and green. They saw many, many wild animals, but those animals were very kind and loving to one another. There were birds singing. All auspicious birds. Chitrakoot was like a paradise. And there were great, great, pure-hearted devotees who were taking their baths and offering their ablutions in the Mandakini Ganga, and many beautiful little hermitages. And everywhere they could see, smoke rising into the sky from sacrificial fires. They came across the ashram of Sri Valmiki Muni. There they came and worshipped the feet of this great sage who told them all about his own life history and the glories of Chitrakoot. It was just close to the ashram of Valmiki Muni that Sri Ram instructed Lakshman to construct a sampal hut. Lakshman built a hut with his own hands. He took some tree trunks to make the pillars and then filled it with grass and leaves, made a beautiful thatched ashram where Sita and Ram would live peacefully. They lived very happily in Chitrakoot, in the association of their devotees. But Sita and Ram, they appeared to teach by their example how all human beings should behave. So they lived as the very, very humble servants of the great ascetics and sadhus that lived near Chitrakoot. it was their greatest joy to serve the sadhus in whatever humble way they could. Sita and Ram would sometimes speak amongst themselves that the opulence of Ayodhya cannot even compare to the happiness we experience living amongst these simple, renounced sages in the forests of Chitrakoot. Lakshman would stand outside of that little hut every night without even closing his eyes for a moment to sleep, always eager to serve his Lord 24 hours a day.